everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering our show today, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, August 28th, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're streaming and podcasting the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com. You can also stream the show on the station's fine website, kvoi.com. Our media partner is TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon with Ray Carroll. Mr. Carroll, a Republican Pima County Supervisor representing District 4. He is here in studio with his dog. Your dog's name is?
My dog's name is Simon.
Hello, Simon.
Simon's looking forward to the interview, Bill. Thanks for allowing him in studio.
Simon doesn't speak, luckily.
He's on the verge.
He's ready to. Yeah. Dan Scheer is with us as well. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Ray Carroll, he'd love to hear from you, and I'm sure regardless of your question or comment, he will be a good sport about trying to answer the question or take the comment I guess he can take the comment with a grain of salt. I'll put it that way. Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, over 4,300 friends, taking more. So if you'd like to join us, let us know. Okay, Supervisor Carroll, the other side on the bonds, very vocal. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen to Pima County by voting yes on this. It's too costly. We can't afford it. What do you say to those people?
You know, Bill, this package was put forward by a community, and the community, I think, is going to respond positively. Of course, there's the negaholics, the people who are against this, the same people that don't have a plan to change things. They were the same people that were against 425, which was the animal care. The animal care facility is going to come in under budget. The animal care facility is going to come in on time. And, you know, these people are running around during that campaign with pig noses on their faces, waving signs that that was going to be the worst thing. And you want to know what their plan was, Bill? They wanted to just give all the neglect and abuse and animal care to nonprofits. That's who's going to investigate animal abuse and neglect and abandonment issues? Bill, it was just a bizarre kind of a committee that really never had an alternative. Same thing with these bonds. What's their plans to fix the roads?
Why is there so much hatred directed to you?
Well, Bill, I mean, you know, incumbents that have served the community as long as I have are going to pick up some pushback. You know, some people who, for whatever reason, they didn't get their way in front of the board. Or they support people or things that the board isn't going to allow. And, you know, the Board of Supervisors is made up by a Democrat majority, Bill. And you have to be reasonable about the presentations that you make to a Democratic majority. I've had my way many times by using reason and diplomacy. Mr. Huckleberry, recently I saw a snippet on Supervisor Miller's Facebook about some compliments that I'd given Chuck. I didn't support Mr. Huckleberry's contract, of course. I have never supported Chuck's contract. I think that I have my reasons for that, which shouldn't be delineated just now. On your program, I'd love to pick up and talk about Chuck Huckleberry's service and length. But this was just complimenting him on the mergers of departments, on the shrinking of various agencies, on the Republican things that I wanted him to do again, hopefully this year.
Okay, let's bring Dan Scheer in. Hello, Dan, go ahead.
Well, of course, Ray, the biggest concern about the bond that we're hearing is that it's just bringing on so much debt. How much debt do we have on the books right now from past bonds, and why not retire that before bringing on another $800 million?
Well, Dan, I think we need to explain for some listeners that the arbitrage is going to allow those bonds that are currently part of our debt to be retired until new bonds can be sold. So the debt right now is over $1 billion. We have per capita debt about fifth largest in the state. Other conservative counties, way more conservative than Pima County, have larger debt hold. There's other parts of our government that aren't really included. Like in Maricopa County, they have a hospital tax. In Maricopa County, they have various other taxes. We, on the other hand, we have a sewer system. So it's a lot of apples to oranges comparisons. But I'll tell you one thing that we don't have is a sales tax. I've blocked that sales tax because I didn't want it to just go slipping into the general fund unearmarked. Therefore, today we have an RTA that has a half-cent sales tax attached to it that has a very delineated pipeline of projects and their costs throughout. So the debt that's going to be retired would be replaced by debt sold to build these new infrastructure projects, like the $160 million in road work.
When the county passed its budget this summer, you said that you thought it should have included more cuts. So obviously, absolutely, fiscally, you're much more conservative. So you are comfortable about bringing on this $816 million plus the you know, all the interest and everything that comes with it. You're comfortable bringing this on?
I am comfortable allowing the people to decide for themselves on the seven questions. I was the one who divided all the questions for the ballot. I wish I could divided it further. I wish I could have made 10 questions out of some of this and broken apart the parks and rec facilities, or maybe the land acquisition and heritage and cultural dollars. But remember, Dan, I'm working with a committee that's been working on this for 8 years. I'm working with a board majority that's been in office with their county administrator since that time began of the bond committees. So I'm comfortable to say that my guess that those that do pass will be able to afford to absorb during the scheduled amount of years. I don't think all of them are going to pass, Dan.
All right, Dan, I hate to interrupt you, but Matthew's been waiting a long time on the live line. Go ahead, Matthew. You're with Ray Carroll.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for being on, Ray, and taking questions. I actually was at a bond a group that met in South Tucson. We had Bruce Dusenberry speak to the crowd for pro, and we had Joe Bogart speak to against. Both of them did a great job in informing the audience on the subject, and I know they'll be out there pushing both of sides of it. My thing is homelessness. I attended a meeting. First of all, I did attend a meeting with the three secretaries when they came to visit on veterans' homelessness, and I think Tucson and Pima County are doing a great job with that. But we still are missing the boat on the homeless issue overall. And I would really like to see the County Board of Supervisors direct Dr. Garcia to take an active role as the lead person for homelessness. Because, and the reason my thinking on this is because the rules are about to change that will affect his department the most, involving the Affordable Care Act that will open up some access money to seriously mentally ill people. So that's my suggestion. I hope you'll consider it. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Well, you know, we have a Pima County Health Department strategic plan. The update is out now for the next 4 years, Matthew. You're familiar with my office. It was dated August 11th. You're more than welcome to review the goals and comment on it. Please call my office. Anyone's welcome always to call my office at 724-8094 and come by and pick up a copy, Matthew. It's a 10-page article as well as a cover page or two, so it's easy and you can see how we're working out.
Okay. Back to Dan Scheer about the bonds.
Okay. The Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber just came out in favor of three of the seven bond proposals going to voters this November, roads, flood control, economic development. What's your office hearing from voters as far as this bond package goes? Is it going to pass part of it? What do you think?
I think it's important that you know that all business people that I've spoken to are in favor of this. Not only are the road builders and the contracting groups, you know, Arizona Builders Alliance, etc., but the banks, the insurance companies, people from all walks of the business community have been attending our board meetings, have been promoting this and saying they're involved. I just talked to a guy today just by chance who told me he just made a $5,000 donation to the campaign. He's a well-known businessman in town. I just think it's important for everyone to review the information. As far as the Chamber of Commerce in Green Valley, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that they didn't support at least the tourism aspect. We've got a great job being done at Canoa Ranch, the new museum and the orientation center that could go for $10 million on top of what we've done already, would be a spectacular addition to Green Valley. I think it's a very short-sighted opinion, and I think the people at the Green Valley Chamber of Commerce did the wrong thing. I was sure that it was a fait accompli when I heard Randy Graff was involved. He probably tried to kill all of them, to be honest with you, because he's one of those people who's always against whatever's put up by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Don't you recall, Dan, wasn't Randy Graff the person who tried to move the county line and let Green Valley be part of Santa Cruz County? That was a very famous thing that happened a couple years ago, Dan. So, you know, he's an obstructionist. Let's be honest. They shouldn't have allowed him to influence their board.
All right, so. It's 12:15. Let's take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. Supervisor Ray Carroll is here, 790-2040. Let's have our 60s bump music today featuring the Stones from 1966, the Aftermath album. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
My sweet Lady Jane.
Buckmaster Show, the music of the Rolling Stones from the Aftermath album. 1966, on Friday we try to do a little bump music from the 60s. Supervisor Ray Carroll is here, who remembers a little bit of the 60s.
Sure, I was alive then. I had a lot of those records.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
45s even, though.
Hey, this Dan Shear is here as well. Dan from the Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun, and Dan will be ably hosting this program on Monday and Friday of next week while I head for the North Country. So, the economic plan that was passed by the Board of Supervisors, how much of that plan is dependent on these bonds passing?
Well, you know, Bill, once again, about 10% of the economic development plan is what you would call reliant on bonds. Things like Accelerate Diagnostics down at the Abrams Health Center at the Banner Hospital on Ajo Road doesn't cost us anything. You know, they've been doubling their size and they're about to leap out of that building and construct another. But things like the Oro Valley Incubator, Bioscience Biotechnology Incubator, is in there. It's $15 million. And we've had Mara Aspinall and the person who appears on your show, Dr. Ray Woosley, many of the science and doctors that come out of Sanofi and Ventana Medical Systems, they're all supporting that. I think it's important for you to see that the 10% are very much directly related to infrastructure for things like that. Let me point out a couple
real
more
quickly,
that are
let
bonds.
Me do
$10 million for GO bonds down there for a new U of A related infrastructure for the tech park. I think it's important for us to give money to the tech park, for their success is phenomenal. Their vacancy rate is low. And another $20 million for some stuff for technology groups. But lastly, $5 million for Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, it's important. You have to realize the guy who's very stingy on compliments for Pima County is Senator John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the Raytheon road work. He loves the idea that we're one of the counties across the state that supports our air bases and our military installations the way that we do. Great compliments on that kind of work.
Well, here we are debating this $815 million bond proposal, and up in Maricopa County this week, I believe, they approved a $31 billion overall bond program.
Well, they're bonding all over the country, Bill. You know, counties all across, like Mecklenburg County, I was just there. You know, their county administrator was just hired. They hired a woman that's one of these that, you know.
What state is Mecklenburg?
I'm sorry, it's North Carolina.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's Charlotte, North Carolina. That's the county seat, a very high-tech growing community. It's really bloomed since the 90s. But they're paying her $300 plus, and she's implementing a $2 billion bond package. So it's across the country. Even in Utah, they just raised gas taxes. Across the country in many counties, they're looking for ways to improve the infrastructure because, like our state, their funds aren't becoming easy and readily available. Nor is the feds trying to keep up with inflation when it comes to their transportation plan. These gas taxes have to be raised, and the United States Chamber of Commerce came together with all types of other people that move products across the country, and it's imperative to keep our economy alive for better roads and infrastructure, and that's what the economic development, the 10% of it that counts on the bonds, is counting on. The Raytheon Road in front, the Sonoran Corridor, I know it's a long answer, Bill, but I think it's okay. Important.
Here's Dan Scherer of the Green Valley News.
Well, Ray, what's the happy medium? Because we say we need to pass these bond projects because we cannot attract new businesses and people without them. But on the other hand, isn't the debt going to keep people away?
I don't think so. I think it's a chicken and an egg theory. The debt could be reduced. You know, if you pass these, it's about $17 a year on your for an average homeowner. It could have gone away, but you'll keep it intact. You know, I just don't think it's that big of a hit to support those important ones that I have told everybody in my family we have to support are from A to Z. They're important infrastructure projects that I think we need to show this region, this state, and this country that we're ready to reinvest in Pima County, especially with our roads, economic development, and tourism, those things that have laid the golden goose for years. We shouldn't sell our future to pay for today. $17 a year to save has just been so puffed up as far as a negative aspect of these bonds, and I think it's unjustifiable. I wasn't at yesterday's thing the South Tucson debate over the bonds, but I'm glad Bruce Dusenberry was there. He's a businessman in this town for several generations back, and he supports all the seven questions. The Chamber of Commerce supports all the seven questions.
But speaking of business, it's not going to be $17 a year for them. Businesses is actually going to be many times that, isn't
it? Sure. That's the cost of doing business when you're in. The comparable of a residential, certainly it's not going to be anywhere close to what business taxes are. But it's important for businesses to show that this is a community that's going to try to fix its roads. They're not going to be like tarmacs. They're going to be improved until we can increase the gasoline taxes in this state or into the county. The road money is not what it's not the total amount that we need. It's a gap measure that I held out for on this bond support. I was not going to support the bonds. As maybe you were there in Green Valley when I had a speech and said that is my holdout. And soon after that, the bond committee and the board members, they had to huddle. There had to be some shuttle diplomacy because they were about to lose my support. I demanded two things, road bonds and a split of the questions. And I got what I wanted.
You mentioned the gas tax. Are you seeing more traction for raising the gas tax?
Yes, I am. All 15 counties in Arizona would like to see the gas taxes raised. And, of course, then they're going to put a lockbox on it constitution-wise because they'll just sweep it, they figure.
Right.
A lot of the counties,
right.
You know, and I'm talking conservative counties, La Paz, Mojave, even some of the northern counties besides Maricopa that are made up of real hardcore conservatives. And they're all in favor of finding more revenue for road work across their counties and in this state. We would like the legislature to refer to a ballot an increase in the gas taxes, just like I said, that very conservative state Utah just did. I can show you all the states that have raised gas taxes in the last year because they've come to the realization that they're on their own and that the feds aren't going to bail them out on their transportation needs. And I'm saying that about Pima County right now. It's ourselves alone that'll fix our roads. It's not going to be the legislature. It's not going to be the feds. It has to be us. Or else we'll just have this deferred maintenance continue until it really does hurt the possibility of companies relocating here. Site selectors want to know about taxes, you're right. But they also want to know about the other quality of life and infrastructure issues. And when you sit down in Pima County and you look out the window and you see that mountain range, that's not all you can sell here. You have to sell good infrastructure, good education, good roads. And like I said, on those items, we're on our own.
That fence going up downtown... was that necessary around the courthouse?
Well, first off,
it is up.
I'm
going to
say it's up.
Yeah,
and I'm
going to
say it's not obnoxious. What was happening when it was not up was obnoxious, Bill. people were sneaking in and using our vent systems as restrooms, and I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if it was a political statement, but it was certainly disgusting and a vile abuse of the facilities down there. And lastly on that, we had to protect that because it's going to cost us an arm and a leg to replace those systems if they finally do have this mess that has to be channeling through their pipelines. It's a mess. And I think it was done tastefully. I'm not going to say that I you know, I was behind the idea, but I'm secure that it's going to be there forever now, and we're going to live with it.
Let's see if we can work another call in. Jim is on the line, our friend Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Ray Carroll.
Good afternoon. Hi, Ray. How are you, sir?
Good, Mr. Kelly. Nice to hear from you, sir.
Listen, when we gave the management of Keno South Campus to UPH, it was before the Banner buy. But now Banner's running things, and I'm not sure that they're doing the right thing. For instance, we're paying double to the doctors because they've got the student doctor in there as well, but yet our taxes are also paying the doctor's tuition. They're charging facilities charge, but wait a minute, didn't our taxes pay for those facilities? So I'm having a real problem with Banner and some of their practices, and the insurance company for Pima County employees just dropped Banner from their coverage. So how is that affecting everything, and what can the Board of Supervisors do about it? I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Jim Kelly, there's nothing like the eyes and ears of the community to help me figure out a better strategy to improve things. So if you'll call me, Jim, you and I have gone back a long time. I'd like to hear your personal testimony about this. I'd like to get a comparison of what you used to be charged compared to now. Banner is a whole different animal. It's obviously a big for-profit network. They've come in. We hope that there's better service. We hope that there's better facilities. As you probably saw, the University of Arizona campus for the hospital there, they're building a whole new tower. They're taking on some huge capital increase. And we'll just have to see, Jim, if it hurt the individuals like yourself at the bottom line. I do kind of follow your argument about the students. We give 12.5 million. We got them to drop at 10% this year. It's one thing I said that if I was in charge, the chairman of this board, and I had three caucus members that spoke to me, I would have the ideal job would be to have all the line officers cut 10% if Banner can do it. Thanks, Jim. Call my office, 724-8094, and I'm ready to talk to you about Banner, and I'll have someone from our health department and someone from Banner review our discussions, and then you can come in if necessary for a follow-up with them.
All right. Ray Carroll, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
I'm going to have a great weekend.
Is it this weekend you're taking off?
No, this weekend I'm going to the Women's Hispanic Scholarship Fund. They're honoring the late Alice Ekstrom. Next weekend I'm taking off for SMU's first game of the season. My son will be starting this year. You remember my boy mm-hmm. Carlos who played at Cell Point?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to be playing against Baylor for his very first game. They're
good
in the top
him.
10. It's going to be an exciting time. He's asked me to be there, and I would never let my son down.
Ray, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Ray Carroll with us. Dan Scheer will stick around. Jim Ninsel is in the house. We'll have our Friday roundtable right after this. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Most letters ever day may be all right in their way.
Rolling Stones from the Aftermath album, 1966, our 60s Friday bumper music here on the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday Roundtable. Jim Nintzel, the senior editor at the Tucson Weekly, senior writer, joins us now. Jim also hosts the TV show Zone of Politics, which airs at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning on Cox 8 and Channel 58. And now also a radio thing. They're doing, Jim, your show on KXCI, 5 p.m. Sundays.
5 p.m. Sundays. So a great way to expand the reach of our program. We're really happy to be partnering up with the folks over at KXCI who have been just terrific about working with us and getting this thing on the air. So, and I got to say, the Stones music today, just great, Bill.
Good.
I love it.
It's my favorite Stones album, actually, Aftermath. Dan Scheer here also, of course, from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. It was a very difficult week for the people of Green Valley, most of them. Is it safe to say most are retirees?
Oh, yeah. About 8% of the people in Green Valley work.
Yeah. Okay. So, difficult week when they saw what happened on the stock market.
Right.
It's a difficult week.
Yeah, panic time, because, again, the earning potential is not there. I mean, I have, 20 more, probably 30, 40 more years of working, but they don't. They're done. And so there was a lot of panic. And so we were taking a lot of phone calls on Monday and Tuesday and talking to local experts. Okay, how should our people react? And, bottom line is it's a roller coaster, but don't jump off. So don't do it. And that's really the word for us, too, the younger people. But don't panic. And then we saw, of course, on Tuesday and Wednesday, started correcting itself. But these things happen, and I remember 87 when it happened.
Sure,
and
I do too.
In 2008, and all this stuff. So this happens.
Yeah, the bounce back was pretty good this week.
The bounce back was good, and actually the climb over the last couple of years has been pretty good. Right. So you're going to see ups and downs, and this was certainly a dramatic down, but I don't think it's a long term.
Yeah, don't freak out. Down. Don't pull out. That's what's really going to cause the problem. And as they say, this offers opportunities for some people who are a little more confident in their investing and want to jump in and buy some stuff that's low, because it certainly was on Monday.
Buy low, sell high.
There you go.
this is not a time to sell.
Yep. Jim Nitzel, along with his TV show, of course, works at The Weekly. He writes the Skinny column. How many years have you been doing the Skinny? It's got to be...
Since the late 50s, I believe.
No. It's been a long time. But anyway, you get into the... We had a primary in the city. Not many people realized it, but turnout was above historic levels, which is normally like 12.5%. I think it was 14%.
Right, and I think that is a function of sending out ballots to everybody. But I got to say, when you get a ballot and there's no choices on it, it does kind of make you think, why am I bothering to send this back in? So I think that probably plays a role. But city elections have traditionally been, turnout's been like between 25% and 40%, 40% on the high side, even when you have really high conflict races. So I think what you end up having in these off-year elections is a lot less attention paid to campaigns.
So what's your take on this with the three incumbents who are being challenged by Kelly Lawton, Margaret Burkholder, and Bill Hunt are the three Republicans who are challenging the three incumbents?
Well, so far I've only talked with Margaret. I'm setting up interviews with the other two candidates, so I don't know too much about them just yet. I'm looking forward to meeting them, interviewing them, finding out what they have to say. But I would say traditionally it's very difficult to knock out a Democrat in the city of Tucson elections. I think Steve Kosachik knocked out Nina Traceoff at a time when there was a great deal of unhappiness about the downtown redevelopment efforts and also just a rising wave of Republican anger in this country that served them well in the 2010 midterms, and this was in 2009. You saw Steve Kosachik actually pull off an upset victory over Nina Traceoff, and so other than that, I would say you'd have to go back to the 1970s probably to see a Republican knocking a Democrat out of office in Tucson, because you've got probably a 3-2 advantage, Democrats over Republicans here. They do well in winning open seats, and generally do well if they can get turnout up high on the east side and it's low on the other parts of town where Democrats have the more voters. But that said, the Republicans are having trouble raising money, but they do have allies out there. You've seen this campaign from Frank Antonori and Christine Bowserman with the Revitalized Tucson effort, where they spent about $30,000 on billboards, and we don't know what else is going to happen on that front. And we'll see whether that kind of additional boost does help those Republican candidates.
Dan Scheer, Diane Douglas has filed an assault complaint against the State Board of Education. Was it against the entire board, or was there a specific individual? This, you just can't make this stuff up.
Well, what the heck is going on is that they're getting more media attention than they have had in years. So it may not be the kind of attention they want, but it certainly is. I will tell you this. I've gotten a couple of phone calls, people saying, by the way, I didn't know that there was a State Board of Education. And what exactly do they do? And the answer is, well, we don't know. We don't know who's in charge, and we don't know exactly how they affect us. But we do have some local representation on that board from our area. And so we kind of marginally pay attention to it. But you know what? This is embarrassing. This is just embarrassing as a state. I got to tell you, of all the decisions that are made and all the cracks we take on late night TV and everything, to me, this is might be the most embarrassing because of the string of events that have happened since she got into office. I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah, there's clearly a lot of conflict between Diane Douglas and the State Board of Education. There's questions of what kind of authority she has and what kind of authority they have, and they've been battling that out since she got in there. And in this case, she was speaking. The head of the Board of Education felt she was out of order and kind of tried to grab a hold of her and take the microphone away from her.
And she called and saw our claims.
He probably overreacted in what he was doing there. and she probably overreacted by calling the authorities in. But you know, as someone who has had an elected official recently call 911 to complain about his work, I will say that it always gets attention in the media when that kind of thing happens.
And I'll tell you, Bill, I interviewed her during the campaign, and she has a couple of ideas that I just thought were a little out there. But she also was much more well grounded than I thought she would be, and mm-hmm. I was a little surprised. I figured she would win, given that the GOP does well on a statewide level, obviously. But I'm a little disappointed in. I thought some of the theatrics of the campaign would be put away, and that right, she'd actually right. get to work, and that unfortunately has not happened.
Well, I would just like to congratulate Dan for being someone who was actually able to get an interview from Diane Douglas during the campaign.
I got a couple with her, and yeah. I thought maybe that. That would pave the way to at least talking after the election, but kind of under the radar screen here.
Mm-hmm. Well, not entirely.
No, really. Under the radar screen as far as an interview, certainly.
Right.
Anyway, the school funding dispute heads back to the courts, so here we go again.
Yeah, and this has been going on for some time. The schools have said that the legislature did not properly increase the funding for inflation and population growth over the last several years as they've struggled with their budget. They've won at the Supreme Court level and went back down to the Superior Court level. The judge said that they owed the state owes over $300 million. The state maintains they only owe $72 million, which they provided. Last time there's been appeals. They tried to work this out in mediation. Apparently, the folks from the education community are saying they're just not going to budge below that 300 and plus number, 300 million plus number. And apparently the state obviously wanted to budge go below that because the talks have broken down and we're back in court. This is going to drag on for a long time. I don't see lawmakers being willing to pay this money, even if there's a court judgment against them. I can see them refusing to pay the money and saying let the courts enforce that judgment. So we'll see where things go.
Right, and of course everybody wants to avoid a tax hike because that just doesn't look good on anybody's watch. But the lawmakers also appear to me to be avoiding giving the schools what they have a right to, and really that's actually over $1 billion potentially in lost funding. And then you had Governor Ducey saying that let's sell off some of the state land trust, use some of that money for this. And then the state treasurer comes back and says, no, if you do that, you're going to be hurting students in the future. So it's a little bit of a mess. But the bottom line is that the schools are owed this money. There's just really even no question about it. It's just a question of how much they're going to eventually get. And I would encourage them to hold the line because maybe then we could address some of the longstanding education issues in this state.
I think that's probably wise legal advice because they do seem to have the courts in their corner on that. And let's face it, we need to begin spending more money on education in this state.
You know, you're talking, Dan, about how retirees make up the bulk of the population in Green Valley. Retirees and older folks have been very much mainstays of service clubs. You're going to be getting a series, three-part series, on what's the future of these service clubs.
Right, and we're looking at where they are, where who's doing well, who's not. And we're talking about Rotary, Lions, Kiwanis, and we went to a Kiwanis meeting. I'll give you a little heads up this summer, and there were four people there. And
what?
This was not a leadership meeting. This was the entire Kiwanis Club. And they're saying, yeah, we're losing people. Then we looked at it on a national level. Of course, they're losing. And a lot of these groups came to prominence after World War II, where there was this whole national sense of, yeah, let's get it done. And there's this camaraderie and unity and everything. And then as people are raising families and getting busier and busier and whatever, they're fewer and fewer. So a lot of them peaked in the 80s, some even in the 90s, but they're dropping dramatically. So we're looking at that. And then we're also looking at what's taking their place. And what we're finding is that much more specialized types of clubs are taking their place. In other words, say if I have a special needs child, I will start a support group. And we have one in Sahuarita and Green Valley that's very, very strong. But it's started by someone who had a specific issue. But we are finding that people don't like to volunteer or get involved long-term. They'll do short-term projects, two or three days, a cleanup at a park or something like that. But these clubs are really dropping in numbers, and they are more, they're stronger in Green Valley just because of the age of people. But we talked to several where the average age of the member is in their 70s or even in their 80s. Mm. So we're doing a three-part series that starts on Wednesday. We're taking a look at this and what can be done or what should be done. But we've also had a lot of them close down their chapters in our city over the past.
Jim, four people. That's almost the number that we're at that bond
bond that was
debate
one of them.
That we were at a few weeks ago together, Dan. Yeah.
So speaking of the bonds, Jim, you know you've got four people turning out for that. It seems the vocal people against it have been very vocal, but. What's your feeling on, what's the gauge on
well,
this?
That Dan and I both attended an event a few weeks back at a library here in Tucson, and there were, I think, 24 people in the room. And the most interesting question came from the moderator, Christine Bowserman, when she asked, did anyone come in here with an open mind? And nobody raised their hand. Everybody had already concluded which side they were on before they even attended. So, you know, it's kind of a waste of time for almost everybody involved. But I do think there is a vocal contingent opposed to the bonds. I don't think it's a very large group, but we don't know how many people are going to turn out in this election. And I think you saw in Phoenix, they had a transportation measure up there that was opposed by similar-minded folks, and it passed, I think, with about 55% of the vote. So we'll see what happens down here. I think turnout is going to play a big role, and I think folks are very concerned about, you know, how many people are going to actually cast a ballot.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier that our Chamber of Commerce had taken the seven questions, and they are for three of them and against four of them. And this is the first group that I have seen that has actually taken the time to parse each one and decide what's good for us and what's not. I'm seeing way too many people saying all thumbs up or all thumbs down, and I think that's a little concerning because I don't think that that's the way you should be approaching this, because you're asking the wrong question, and you need to be thinking countywide what's best for all of us, and some of them are good and some of them are not good. So we'll see what happens, but I'm real curious to see how this one goes. I just really have no idea right now.
And I think the reason you're seeing the so many groups supporting all seven of them is that's been a calculated effort on behalf, yes, of the folks who are supporting this. They are saying, look, if you want the road, they've convinced the people who want more roads that they should support everything, so that the people who also support open space will support the roads, and there's,
sure,
there's,
okay,
sort of this crossover appeal.
Got to go. Jim, who's your guest on the TV show?
Oh, we've got Ray Carroll you just had on,
oh,
and Congressman Raul Grijalva will also be joining us. So a good show on Sunday morning.
Congressman was with us last week. All right, Dan Scheer, good luck to you as you sit in this chair on Monday and Wednesday, Monday and Friday. Who do you have Monday?
We've got a guy named Terry Lubnick who is with Rotary, and we're going to be talking about microloans.
Microloans.
Actually, quite
right.
Interesting.
And, of course, you'll also be hosting the always full of fireworks political face-off. Jim, thanks.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
We'll look for you on TV and look for your work in the weekly. Back with our weekend watch right after this.
Be there in Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit arizonawildcats.com/UTSA.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, noon to one, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com. Weekend Watch, hosted by Mr. Matt Russell, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, an award-winning Tucson publicist, is brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready for a really big event. It's the 7th annual Pick-A-Mania Festival, you know, like a guitar pick, and they're going to have free Americana music from really all over this country. At least 10 bands, maybe more, kicking off this fun event, and it's September 11th through the 13th in Silver City, New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, the fine website that has the full listing of places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and a listing of the many things to do. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday. You know, I'm staring at the clock on my wall, and I'm wondering, is it too early for happy hour, Bill?
Oh, you know what I say about happy hour. You know, it's a 24-hour clock on that one. It's happy hour somewhere in the world.
That sure is. And I think today it's a Jonathan's Cork kind of day, because I just love the Cork's Lounge and their great discounts on cocktails and beers and wines by the glass. So head over to the Cork near the corner of Pima and Wilmot and do what I do. Start with the blackened calamari steak with lemon butter and the jalapeno bacon-wrapped shrimp, and then cool things down with a local barrio beer while you catch up with some colleagues in celebration of the weekend. You have my permission to leave the office a little early today, so get yourself to the Cork. They open at 3 o'clock.
You know, it's fun thinking about pancakes for dinner.
It sure is, you know. And as you know, Bill, Millie's Pancake House on Tancoverde Road has always been near the top of my list for best Tucson breakfast, and I'm excited to report that they'll be bringing the same down-home attitude to a new dinner menu on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Now, European inspiration guides this menu, from stuffed cabbage rolls to Swedish meatballs, even schnitzel and sauerbraten, with a great beer and wine menu to boot. I say if you like Millie's for breakfast, you're going to love it for dinner. check it out this weekend.
And of course, what would a Friday afternoon with Matt Russell be without a preview of perhaps wine tasting somewhere in town?
Absolutely. Our good friend Doug Levy over at Feast on Speedway near Alvernon, he's going to be hosting two wine tasting events this weekend. Now, on Saturday at 2, it's all about the oaky and buttery goodness of Chardonnay. And on Sunday at 3:30, Doug's going to feature cross-cultural wines from the world's border towns. And the small dish is going to be paired with each wine. Reservations are a must for both events, so you got to call Feast today to reserve a space. The number 326-9363.
I'm sure you'll be looking for a fine vintage somewhere, right?
You got it, Bill.
What's in the column this week in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, you know, Bill, what's around the rims of cocktail glasses across town? I assure you, it's not just about salt anymore. And I sat down with two local bar folks who are revving up their rims in creative ways, and you can read the full story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Matt, I hope you have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Well, we've got the Buckmaster Show wrapping it up here on a Friday. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its copyrighted content. On behalf of the entire team here at KVOI, including my friend across the glass right now, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, production ace Jerry Cross, Good News Communication owners Doug and Mary Martin, my website manager, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. We all wish you a wonderful and safe weekend. I will be off next week. We have some fine guest hosts. I'll be heading up to Western Canada, and hopefully the smoke will have cleared out a little bit from those Washington State forest fires. Have a great week.